This week on Family Anatomy, Anatomy of No Time for Flashcards.
The hosts of Family Anatomy are psychologists, but they're not your psychologists. So if you want to talk to someone about family or mental health issues, you can get a referral from your family doctor. This show is for information only.
Welcome to Family Anatomy, your source for parenting and relationship information, with your hosts, Dr. Giuseppe Spazzano
and Dr. Brian McDonald. And we're talking today, we have sort of an unusual title because the person we're talking to today is the owner of a blog called No Time for Flashcards.
No Time for Flashcards. Her name is Allison or Allie McDonald.
That's right. No relation to me.
I was just going to say, in the interest of full disclosure, I guess maybe you don't want to say.
No relation.
She was your first wife.
I think, isn't Allie a McDonald? I don't even remember from, I always think of her as Allie because I know her from Twitter. So
I don't know. All I know is if we had a guest on whose last name was Spazzano, you would be wondering if they were related.
There would be some questions.
Sure.
Yes. Well, in the interest of full disclosure, no relation. No relation, but...
Anymore.
Right. No, we're not blood related, put it that way. you got me going. All right. Well, you know, we met Allie through Twitter, as I said, and her website, No Time for Flashcards, I think was the first website of the week when we started doing the website of the week on familyanatomy.com.
That's right. And our show and our blogs started around the same time as well, which is a coincidence.
I think she was about a month before. We had started talking about it, and I think hers went up maybe about a month before ours did. So she's just over two, and we're just under 2 years old.
Yeah, but you know what? Enough about us. Let's get to Allison.
Let's get her on the line.
And now I'd like to welcome Allison McDonald to the show. Hello, Allison.
Hi.
Or Allie.
Either one works.
Either one's good. Okay. It's so nice of you to be on the podcast with us. I guess we can start with, I know I was on your blog today, and I know you're a teacher and a preschool educator by training, and I guess you've been working with kids since about 1993, and you've remained interested in preschoolers in particular. Tell us a little bit more about your background.
You know, I actually started, 93 was the first time that I was paid to work with kids, and that was day camp programs. And I did day camps and rec programs that you see at rec centers all the over the place for years and years. And then I went off to university, and I was like, I'm going to work in a building downtown with high heels, and I'm not going to work with kids, because I had done it since I was a kid. I mean, I started volunteering full-time. My mom bribed me to do it so that I could get clothes for junior high. So all summer, I did it full-time, well before I was paid for it. And I hated working in an office. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, I'll be a child advocate. I'm going to do history and go to law school. Yeah, that didn't happen either. So I went back to university after getting a first degree in history, and I went back and did my B.Ed. And it's actually in elementary, but as fate would have it, I met an American boy and moved down to the States and never bothered getting certified here. So I did preschool instead, which I by far love anyway. So
you're on the West Coast in the U.S.?
Yes, we're just outside of Seattle.
Okay. And so we should say that you know, you've started a blog, No Time for Flashcards. And you also, I guess you have a three-year-old now.
I do, yeah, he's three.
Give us an idea of how, like, I know this started right around when he was 15 months of age. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was almost exactly 2 years ago.
Wow. You already got a busy schedule, obviously, with the little one at home. How did you manage to start a blog at the same time with all the other things that go with being a new parent?
Do you know, it's funny. One, my son is allergic to sleep. Still is. He still wakes up multiple times. Like, if he sleeps through the night, it's a major celebration in our house.
We're familiar with that.
I'm glad. So, I mean, I'm used to, you know, him sneaking in to our room and sleeping. But I guess, really, I got used to not a lot of sleep. And so I had a lot of time on my hands. We live outside of Seattle, but my husband commutes in. And I had a long days alone with him. And I was relatively new to the area, too, so I needed to feel productive, and I missed teaching. So I just started posting things that I would do with him. And I'm on a mommy board, online message board, that people would ask me these questions, and I'd be typing up these crafts for them. Oh, do this, or, oh, they're behind on their letters, do that. And I was like, wait a second, I should really compile this. So I did, and it was as good for my son, if not better for me, than it was for him, because I felt useful again. I was feeling very unuseful at home.
So you were drawing upon all those experiences from way back when you were real young, too.
Oh, absolutely. Most of my crafts and stuff isn't, most of my experience with that isn't from my degree in education at all. I mean, it's from all of that day camp. For years and years. I mean, I remember being 13 and the leader being like, you know more about this than me, just go ahead and do it. And they'd just be there to supervise legally. So that's really where it comes from, especially if you see any of my goofy song videos. That's all day camp.
I was watching those today and I couldn't believe, I just thought to myself, she's got a three-year-old son. I have a three-year-old as well. I know what that's like. It takes up a lot of energy and a lot of time
it
for
does.
Both of us. And on top of that, I understand that you're going to be having another child.
I am.
Right?
Congratulations.
So, congratulations on that. So you've got a lot going, and you've got this website that's just jammed with information, videos, you singing songs with your son, and wow.
Very brave, by the way. Excellent singing. But very brave to put that up online. Good for you.
You know, in my sorority in college, I wasn't even allowed to sing. They used to ask me to mouth the words because I have such a bad voice.
Oh, no.
So kids songs are really, you know, my forte. But, yeah, it is hard. Like, I'm very busy, but it is absolutely what I like to do, so it energizes me to do it more. But I do hibernate sometimes. I mean, I say no to play dates and simply stay home and we chill out, especially now that I'm pregnant. I want that alone time with my son before my daughter, I found out we're having a girl, comes. So, and he just woke up as well.
Oh, no. So we might, if you need to step away, that's okay.
Ian, and play with your trains and I'll be right there. This will just take a sec.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, he listened. He's generally a really good boy, but we'll see.
That was pretty good listening.
While you're on the air, he better listen, right?
Yeah, exactly. Please don't embarrass mommy right now, especially if I start saying something like, go grab the TV remote. Do you want to watch more Caillou?
So you grew up in Canada then, eh?
I did, yeah. I didn't move to the States till I was 26, 27. So six, seven years ago.
Whereabouts in Canada?
I grew up in half Vancouver, half Calgary. So my dad got transferred when I was 10. You're welcome, sweetie. Okay. Oh. And then Calgary. So I graduated from U of C, and then I went to Lakehead for Teachers College.
And then soon after moved to the U.S. Now, for our listeners who maybe haven't seen your blog yet, tell us a little bit about what No Time for Flashcards is all about.
So what No Time for Flashcards is and what it's built into is really a resource for parents. So I do activities with my son, and they range from crafts to learning games and everyday things that you can do at home. And then I link them, usually, not always, usually depending on how much time I have that night to do a post, to books. Because really, if there's one thing I'm trying to get across to parents, about learning and early childhood learning is that reading to your kids is by far the most important thing to do. So these fun activity and busy activities are great, but linking them to books is really kind of part of my passion as well, so that parents will read a lot to their kids if possible.
And I noticed on your website you have book reviews. And what I found interesting about them is they're so personal. Like, you know, you really give that personal touch of this is what I think of this book, and it sort of gives you a sense of, yeah, I'd really like to check that out.
Do you know, the book reviews, thank you for saying that, because I think that that's kind of my weakest point. But I've been hearing really similar comments to that. And I just say what I think about them. I mean, sometimes I've gone back and authors have, you know, come to my site and mention something. Then I look back at some of their book reviews, and some are really kind of mean that I've done. I feel like that. But I have to be true to my audience. I don't want them reading something that is, I mean, there have been books that I've reviewed that are scary. And I'm just like, do you know what? It's not appropriate for my kid. You can check it out and see, but I'm not going to read something that is possibly going to upset his sleep any more than it already is upset. I try and keep it the same way that I would say it to a friend if I was recommending the book.
And that personal touch carries through the whole site. I mean, we've seen pictures of your little guy working on some of the crafts that you've written about.
Oh, definitely. I actually started that because before I, when I was doing my degree in education, they would be like, do you think a kindergartner could do this? And I would be like, oh, yeah, I've worked with two-year-olds that can do that. No problem. And that has definitely carried into being a mom, where people are like, I'm too scared to give my five-year-old a paintbrush. Like, chill out. They'll be okay. So that's why I started taking pictures of my son, was because I wanted them to see that, yeah, they won't be able to cut it into a shape of a fish, but they can do the painting at a young age, or they can do this with a little bit of help. And I've actually come into, that's been my biggest criticism from people too, is I've had people say that my son isn't really doing the things. And
you
so,
mean they don't believe that you're doing it?
They don't believe, exactly. And I'm so, that's why I've included videos, or I've said, listen, he did that. And if you look, there's paint on his lips because he's eating the paint. Like, it's totally normal. He's 80% Crayola. That's my big joke, because he's eaten so much of it. So, but it's, I mean, that's totally against what I was trying to get through, which was, don't worry about how they do it. Just do it with them, and they can do it.
Okay. Now, you know, I'm interested in the name of the site, No Time for Flashcards. Talk to us a little bit about flashcards as a way of teaching kids, and what you're trying to get across in the title for your blog.
You know, I think that came across from motherhood more than anything. But there's a book, and I'm forgetting the author's name, but it's called Einstein Never Used Flashcards. Uh-huh. And it's a great book. I read it years ago. But it's basically saying why, like, all this baby Einstein flashcards things are bad, and it being that it's totally static learning, and that it's not the way that young children naturally learn. And I mean, as psychologists, you guys know this, but the average parent doesn't necessarily know that young kids aren't just mini adults. That's not how they learn. They learn through their senses, through doing, through experiencing. So when I became a mom and going to mom things and having other moms be like, my 6-month-old is reading through this baby can read thing, I mean, I'd leave with my tongue bleeding because I was biting it so hard. Because that's not how kids learn. Like, no, get on the floor with them. Do that. They can learn all those things. They just will do it in a different way. So
that's true. We're both psychologists who work in schools, and so we work with kids who have trouble learning in a classroom environment, and learning from experience is one of the first things that we often talk with teachers and parents about.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's also taking, like, Gardner's, is it now 11 different styles of learning that he, it's changed since I took it in university, but all the different styles of learning, and especially with little kids, it's so hard to figure out if they're more auditory or if they're more kinetic. It's hard to figure out if they learn through doing or listening. So instead, if you create an environment that has all of those things, you're probably going to catch on something.
Now, is that something that you're hearing more about in, well, I know it's been a while since you took your Bachelor of Education degree, but I know that when I was learning my times tables, it was flashcards. That was the old school way, I guess, of learning it. And I know you're talking more about preschool and early elementary school age kids, but what are they teaching people in teachers' college?
Oh, absolutely. Math has changed, because when I did my degree in ed in 2003, and I was so bad at math as a child that I had a tutor from grade 4 through grade 12. And it was mostly because we moved in that year, and rote learning does not work for me. I don't know how to spell. Grammar rules are totally above me. Like, I have to ask my husband to proofread everything because I just don't remember things that can't be worked out and don't make sense by doing. So for me, when I was sitting in a class learning how to teach math, it was great that there was more games involved and more explaining how things work now. So I think it has changed, but there are some things that need to be done with flashcards. I mean, learning anything that just has to be memorized, flashcards are great for.
And that's things like
sight words.
And that's the big distinction, I guess. There's memory, and then there's understanding. And what you're talking about is more putting things into context, understanding them, experiencing them, not just memorizing them.
Exactly. It's like a parrot can talk. It doesn't mean it understands what it's saying.
Now, you know what I found interesting? I was looking through your site today, and there's so much, like, the other part of it to me that stands out is the creativity. I know, like, I for my first son, I was home for about 6 weeks when he was born. And then my second son, I thought, well, that worked really well. Let me take six and not put weeks behind it, let's say months. So I took 6 months for my second one. But
I think he's having babies just to take time off work.
That's right. I'm going to keep having him for that reason, too.
I am sad I'm not in Canada, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, the thing is, though, not being a teacher, I kind of struggled to find interesting things to do. And I think, you know, I put it this way. I know that, you know, my kids are going to get the most love they can get from me, but after a while I had to go back to work, so they had to go into preschool, and I knew that they would get more creative, interesting things to do from the teachers than they would from me. But with you being a mom, your kids are going to have the best of both worlds there, a teacher and someone who really loves them.
Well, I hope so. And I hope that, you know, most teachers are definitely giving, I mean, it's nothing like parental love, you're right. But most teachers are hopefully in it and love what they're doing. But I think that there's also a time when people ask me often if I homeschool, and I don't plan on homeschooling. I mean, you can say what I'm doing is homeschooling, but really I'm just filling our days with things that happen to be fun and learning. But because I really think that, you know, a parent and a teacher are two very separate things. And I have to pull myself back sometimes and be like, okay, you're his mom. He goes to preschool as well. And be like, okay, do you know what? You're looking at this through teacher's eyes right now. He just needs a mom right now. And I have to stop myself sometimes.
But some of the ideas, too, that I was seeing on the website today, it just sort of opened my own imagination up just thinking about them. There was, I guess there was one where you had a car, and it was in, I guess you had filled up a bucket with water and frozen a toy car inside the bucket. And now this big ice cube of a car gets thrown into the tub for a bath toy. And I can just see how, like, interesting and creative, and how cool my kids would find that.
Oh, yeah. Icebergs are big hits in our house. He loves doing those. That actually wasn't even my idea, but I stole it from another blogger who I luckily linked to. But It is absolutely like, I mean, it's little things like that. And the thing is, too, is that is he, you can hear him singing.
He's singing, having a good time.
Hold on, let me take a break and let him know he's making. I hear you singing on the stairs. Can you go upstairs? Oh my gosh, I'm totally getting
payback.
What song
was that?
He has a very radio-friendly
voice.
It's
a song from our Music Together class. Yeah, that we've taken, that he adores.
Now, you know, that is a great example, though, of juggling all the things you need to do. Here you are on the phone talking about your blog. You're looking after your little guy. But, you know, new parents are often overwhelmed by all of the things that go along with that. And I know you were a person who was able eventually to get along with only a little bit of sleep. But what advice would you give for young parents who are just starting out to help them, you know, work with their kids and promote that experiential learning?
You know, I think the two biggest things are, one, be flexible. So one thing I didn't kind of figure out until a few months in, probably closer to a year into being a mom, was that you don't have to make decisions hard and fast. Like, if something's not working, change it. It doesn't change who you are as a parent to change a decision of parenting. So that was one of them, is be flexible, and two, laugh. Just think everything is funny, because really sometimes you can't do anything except for laugh. So, and have good coffee. So that's three things. Lots of coffee, which is what's missing right now because I'm pregnant. I can only have one good cup a day. So I only have so many good hours in a day now. But yeah, as I'm hiding now in my laundry room, trying to get away from the singing.
Well, okay. Now, one of the things, in order to be flexible, you need to be a little bit prepared when you're doing this kind of stuff. And I know on your site you have a list of supplies for parents to have around so that they can, the best way to encourage this kind of thing is to have it available, right? What kinds of supplies do you feel like are most important for parents?
Do you know, really, the very basics. So, something they enjoy coloring with. My son, just today, we did a craft, and I had crayons out, and he was like, I'm not doing it if you're going to make me do it with crayons. So we got out the paint instead. So paint, crayons, felt markers, construction paper, plain old white paper, glue, and scissors. I mean, that's the absolute basics, and you can do so much with it.
Now, you seem to be like an artistic, creative type of person. Are you like that by nature? Was that something that your parents instilled in you? Or like, where does that come from?
I think it is definitely by nature. Hearing more about it, because people are, oh, you're always so creative, and I just kind of never thought about it. And looking back now, I mean, my mom kept all my creations, and I was like, where did I make this? She was like, oh, just at home. So, funny enough, I've only ever taken one art class, and that was in teacher's college. Never took it in school at all. But, yeah, I've just always been very creative. Like, it's just, that's a very natural thing for me to do. Don't ask me to do a spreadsheet, though, because I can't make Excel work at all or balance a budget.
So, for the person who had trouble in math and has trouble with grammar and can't make a spreadsheet, has a website that's full of stuff for parents to read and examine and try out. That's incredible.
Exactly. And I write freelance articles for people, and my English teacher told me I'd never, ever pass a university English class, which I didn't. I never took one. But, yeah, it's all worked out really well.
Well, I guess the fact that you don't sleep means you have twice as much time as everybody else.
Exactly.
So that probably helps.
That works. That works. Now, you do link a lot. You do link a lot of those activities back to books. Do you have, what are your favorite kids' books for preschoolers? Do you have any that really stand out?
Yes, my absolute favorite is Very Hungry Caterpillar by Eric Carle. And the reason why is it's packed with all sorts of learning. It's got the days of the week, it's got healthy eating. It's got the life cycle of a caterpillar or butterfly. So just with that one book, one, kids love it. And two, you can teach so many things with that book, including counting, too, because every day he eats more food. So it's great. Other ones are Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day by Judith Voist. I can't say her last name.
I like that one, too.
I just read it again last night to my son, and it's almost like a monologue when I read it because I know it off by heart. And then Corduroy. I love Corduroy. It's just so sweet that it's a cute kind of story that you can rope into an adoption story almost, too, of a little girl adopting a bear, even though his overalls are broken from the toy store. So those are my three favorites.
So you've been doing, you created it, I guess, what, a year and a half ago? No Time for Flashcards? Is that right? How long ago was it?
2 years.
2 years.
Exactly.
Okay.
2 years. It was the start of February 2008.
Okay. It's almost the same time as us.
That's it is. And so in this past 2 years, what do you think it's brought to you? What do you think it's brought to your son? What has it meant to you, this website?
I joke that it gave me something to talk about at cocktail parties besides my son. because, no, really, my husband, all of our friends, we all met through my husband's MBA program. So they're all very career-driven, so they all kind of blank when I start talking about a child. So it's great that I have, like, oh, yeah, I've been doing this or that, or the blogging has really taken off to social media things, too. So I've worked with brands, and I've worked with different companies like Hooked on Phonics, and I blog for a company, Pearson Education. I blog on their familyeducation.com site as well. So it gave me really a career back just from home, which is the best of both worlds most days and the worst of both worlds on bad days. But it's really just made me feel like my voice is back, and my voice doesn't just have to be about breastfeeding and diapers and, you know, preschool politics.
Well, Allie, you know what? It's been wonderful talking to you today. I think you have a little guy who wants to get back to singing with you. And how can our listeners get in touch with you? What's the best way to reach you if they want to pop by and say hello?
Do you know what? My blog, notimeforflashcards.com, and then my email is Allie@notimeforflashcards.com. And then I'm also on Twitter @NoFlashCards. Those are the three easiest ways of getting in touch with me.
Fantastic. And we'll put your site up as the website of the week once more. You know, you were our first website of the week and the first one to be up twice.
Yay! That's awesome.
Congratulations, Allie.
Listen,
thank you,
Allie,
so much.
Allie, it's been really fun having you on the show. And congratulations on the new baby girl that's coming.
Thank you.
All right, we'll let you get back to your little one. You have a great afternoon, and thanks for talking to us tonight.
Thank you.
Here he comes.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And that's it for our show this week. You can email us at info@familyanatomy.com or visit our website at familyanatomy.com. And as always, Brian has an announcement.
Well, the announcement is the same one we've had for the last little while. We talked at the beginning of the show about the fact that we have a birthday coming up. Well, we also have episode 100 coming up, which is a big one for us.
That's a milestone.
Yeah, we certainly feel that way. So if you want to send us any comments, any suggestions for what hopefully will be the next 100 episodes, any ideas for show topics, anything at all, you can email us at that info@familyanatomy.com or pop by our Twitter, twitter.com/familyanatomy. And we're out of here once again. So, as usual, we'll leave you with a bit of a tune by Brother Love. And he's over at brotherloverocks.com.
Thanks for listening.
FamilyAnatomy.com